Thank you all very, very much. My name's Jeff Neeney, and I work in the communications area of Convoy. But we wanted to do something different tonight. This is a really unique opportunity for us. Normally, when our staff travels and they get a chance to be in churches, they end up being one person. They talk for a while. They may have a video. We're going to try to get like 6 weeks worth of stuff in tonight, if we can do that. If you'll bear with us, we'll still get you out on time. We will talk very fast, but it's really unique for us, and it's exciting because this church is home for so many of our staff, and we just want to thank you again for the opportunity. One of the interesting things about Convoy of Hope is if you go and ask someone, tell me about Convoy of Hope, they'll tell you about a sliver of it. They'll say, yeah, that's that organization that does disaster, isn't it? And they'll say, oh yeah, you guys do those outreaches in cities. And then you ask somebody else and they'll say, oh yeah, I've heard of Convoy. You guys do a lot internationally, don't you? And the answer to all those is yes. And that's what makes it so exciting tonight is we're going to give a chance to tell you a little bit about a lot of things. We work in, U.S. outreach. We have probably about 30 outreaches a year in communities across the country. Our disaster response team is represented tonight, and we hear about them a lot in the news, especially in this area. The news media has been very friendly to us. And then on an international basis, we're very, very involved. And it's an interesting combination of things, and it's so exciting for us to be able to share all three of those tonight with you. One of the interesting facets of Convoy is it's a very, very far-reaching organization. And sometimes it's hard to believe that the organization is only 15 years old. 15 years ago, our founder, Hal Donaldson, and a couple guys were in California handing food out of the back of a pickup truck. And now 15 years later, we have a fleet of semis. We've been in 109 countries in almost every state. And is that the power of God in action or what? Isn't that amazing? In a moment, there's going to be a young man, Michael's a young man that's going to come up, and he's going to share with you. Many of you know Michael Redman. He and his wife and family make this church their home, and Michael heads up our U.S. Outreach Department. And anybody here ever been to an outreach, a Convoy of Hope outreach, maybe here in Springfield or another city? How many of you have worked at one? Awesome. We want you guys back. That's what we thrive on, volunteers. We need volunteers all the time. So we're excited when we get to see folks that have come out and made an investment, not just in their community, but in the lives of individuals. So Michael's going to come up in just a minute. Before he does, I want you to watch this video, okay?
Daddy! Well, that's just a glimpse of one of our recent outreaches. That outreach actually happened in inner city Washington, D.C. on the grounds of RFK Stadium and working with some key individuals there. And that's, again, just a glimpse of what we're doing across the country. And we, as Jeff mentioned, we're in a little over 30 different communities, but we're doing about 50 outreaches a year in these communities. Here in just a couple of weeks, one of those communities, Detroit, Michigan, we're going to be the metro area of Detroit, and we're going to do 12 of these outreaches at the same time and just blanket the entire city. It's just quite a project we've been doing. This is going to be the fourth year that we've done that there, and quite an impact that we're having there. I can really give some exciting insight because I just came off one of these tremendous outreaches this weekend. This past Saturday, we were in Raleigh, North Carolina. And for those of you that have done an outreach, you can appreciate that when we opened the gates at 8:30, we had to open the gates early. The police came to us. They said that your crowd is 3.5 blocks long, and they're getting unruly at the end. You need to open this site and let them in. And within that first hour, we had already gone over 2,000 people that came through the site. And at that particular outreach, we had to close the site early because we had too many people on site. But it's what happens at these outreaches that is so impacting. And again, just using Saturday as an example. Guests would come to these outreaches because they're hungry. And we advertise a variety of things. One of those is free groceries, but we also advertise free haircuts. We advertise free job fairs. And that's something we've been emphasizing with the economy over the last few months is we go into these communities, we work with these temp agencies and these different job organizations. And in Raleigh, we had a 40 by 40 tent with 12 different agencies in there that were not only hiring people, but were writing resumes for them, making them look sharp. And people were leaving with resumes in their hands, with jobs, and just on and on and on and on. And probably one of the biggest things that happens at our outreaches is right before the grocery area, we have strategically placed a large prayer tent. And we want to touch and pray with each one of our guests before they leave. At the outreach Saturday, we had over 6,000 guests that came out to this outreach. And we had a large 100 by 60 prayer tent. This thing was mammoth. And we had over 125 trained volunteers that were working inside of this tent. And those 125 prayer warriors prayed one-on-one with over 5,800 people on Saturday. I mean, just sit down. And it was something else as you walk through that tent and you would see these circles. And you'd have to turn sideways to get through the tent because these volunteers were in intense prayer and counseling with over 5,800 people. And we only record first-time salvations. And of those 5,800, we had over 450 first-time salvations and people coming to Jesus Christ. We're living in a hurting time. People are desperate for hope. Just today in Washington, D.C., we had one of our staff members that was invited into a very key meeting. These are the kind of meetings you don't hear about in the news. But it was where Republicans and Democrats came together. And they came together around a problem that we're having in America. And it's this problem of hopelessness that's blanketing America. And all the way to the top offices, they don't know what to do. They don't know what the answer is. They're scrambling. And Convoy of Hope has been invited to that table to influence what we do next. I mean, only God can do things like that. I mean, we're still relatively a new organization and a new ministry, but God continues to go before us. And we see things, and some of this stuff doesn't really matter to a whole lot of people, but, you know, things like tomorrow. I fly out tomorrow, and I've got a meeting tomorrow night and Friday with the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, who's wanting to do something on the grounds of their new stadium that they built to reach their immediate community. And a few weeks after that, I'm going to be with the Baltimore Ravens. And then in June, I'll be with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Today, I received a phone call from two major college football bowl committees that want us to do something in conjunction with their bowls. God is continually going before us and just parting the Red Sea. And I got off the phone today with this bowl committee, and I'm thinking, where did that come from? I'm talking totally out of left field. But God is doing something, and what's happening is we go in and we're all about training churches and volunteers by the thousands on the power of one. You can make a difference in one person's life. I spent 30 minutes this past Saturday afternoon. 30 minutes, we have a picnic area that we erect in each one of our outreaches where the guests come down in front of a sight entertainment stage and listen to some great music while they're eating hot dogs. You know, that was appropriate tonight for you to have hot dogs. Because that's what we serve at our, but they sit there, and I sit there for 30 minutes. I was talking with this lady. She had her granddaughter with her. And we were just shooting the breeze, and about 20 minutes into this conversation of just talking about a little bit of everything, she got real serious on me, and she mentioned something that's really rocked my world. And it's what I'm all about, but to hear someone else say it just was powerful. She said, "I can't tell you how many times church people have come by my house and invited me to their church, but no one has ever really done anything to help me." She said, "Today, the church is here and they're helping me." And I don't think she realized what she said when she said the church. She didn't say a church, she said the church. And I saw her, I ran into her a little bit later inside the prayer tent, and I saw her praying with one of our prayer warriors, tears streaming down her face, and just watching God just engulf her with the presence and with the message of hope. And that's what we're all about on the U.S. outreach side. And we keep busy again just from coast to coast. And as you hear about what we're doing, just pray for us, because, again, God is going before us and putting us on some tremendous platforms to be influencers of hope. Thank you, Jeff.
Amen. You'll hear a recurring theme tonight. What's that word? Oh, amen. We have a great relationship with the Assemblies of God, with churches, with the people in those churches, and with headquarters right here in Springfield. A great relationship with home missions and the Assemblies of God world missions. In a minute, you're going to meet Nick Wiersma, who is an Assemblies of God home missionary who is on loan, but we don't consider him a loaner. We consider him, he's like staff that somebody else is paying for. It's one of those awesome things. But Nick and his team that he works with over in U.S. Disaster Response are doing some amazing things around this country. And he's going to come up and share in a minute. Hal Donaldson, our president, really wanted to be here tonight and was planning on it and then was not able to come. So we thought, we have a video with Hal. And it's kind of fitting to let him share this information with you. All the things that Convoy of Hope, through the help of churches like yours, was able to accomplish in 2008. Watch this, please.
Hello, this is Hal Donaldson from the Convoy of Hope, and today I want to say thank you for taking a few moments of your time to watch this video message. These are certainly difficult economic times. People are hurting. I've seen it firsthand as I've gone to the Convoy of Hope outreaches, and I've seen the lines grow as thousands of people wait to receive free haircuts, job information, medical and dental care, and as they've come to receive the food that we provide. You've helped to make that possible. And although these are difficult times, I want you to know that Convoy of Hope is not pulling back. We are moving forward because there are thousands and thousands more here in this country who are falling into poverty, and their cupboards are empty, the refrigerators are empty, and the food stamps are gone. And so Convoy of Hope is moving forward. This year it looks like we're approaching 5 million people will have received significant help because you reached out and you gave generously. That means cumulatively we have been able to help more than 25 million people, providing them with food and vitamins, and many of them receiving pure drinking water. You helped make that possible. The number of outreaches in the United States continues to grow. This is a record-setting year. This year, we've been able to distribute more than $30 million wholesale value worth of food and supplies to hurting people across America and around the world. You helped make that possible. This year, we responded to multiple disasters here in the States and around the world. In the wake of Hurricane Ike and Gustav, we were able to distribute some 200 truckloads and containers to places like Haiti and places like the Caribbean, places like Texas and Louisiana. $7.5 million worth of food and supplies was distributed to hurting people after those hurricanes. We continue to feed 18,000 children a day. They wake up every morning not wondering whether they're going to have food or access to pure drinking water, but they know that they're going to receive help every single day. I can tell you what an enormous blessing that is to these children, to know that they have hope and they have an opportunity. It wouldn't happen without your help, and for that we are so grateful. Deuteronomy chapter 15 says that when we give to the poor and the suffering, and we do it, God will bless us. It says He will bless everything that we set our hands to. And so today I want to encourage you to give sacrificially, give generously. Even though you may not have a lot, give what you can, because it will mean that people will get help, but also that you will walk into God's blessing. I truly, truly believe that. I've had the opportunity to go down to the Gulf. I've been up in the Midwest floods. I've been to Central America, and I've been to Convoy outreaches. And I can tell you this, people are hurting. They are in need. But it's a joy to see a smile come to their face when they receive tangible help. Convoy of Hope is there, meeting needs. We are an extension of your compassion and your generosity. It wouldn't happen without you. So as we approach this holiday season, I want to encourage you to do what you can. I know it's tough. I know that the money is short, but do what you can so that children and their families can receive help. God bless you. Thank you so much for all you've done. And we love you, we appreciate you, and please know that God is so grateful. He's honored by what you do. I believe He in turn is going to reward you. God bless you.
That was a year-end report from last Christmas. And September 13th, 2008, Saturday night, about midnight, I'm driving through the outer bands of Hurricane Ike with white knuckles, trying to get through Oklahoma City. We couldn't go through the heart of Hurricane Ike, obviously, because it would have blown us off the road. I was driving a 40-foot RV. Does anybody own an RV around here? It's easier to drive a semi than it is to drive an RV. I had a team of interns with me. In the town we were going to, there were reported shootings at the local gas station because there was no power. The police were at odds with the society, with the community there. They had called a local curfew. Everybody that was caught outside after 6 o'clock would have been put in jail immediately. They emptied the local jails because everybody was concerned about the safety. And we drove through the outer bands of Hurricane Gustav and Hurricane Ike to get to Louisiana and Texas. But when we got there, we were faced with the reality of the fact that people's homes had been devastated. They had been destroyed. Over 1 million people out of power. In the midst of it, in the midst of the adrenaline, you don't really capture the moment of what's really taking place. In Psalm chapter 12, it says that God responds to the devastation of the needy and the cries of the afflicted. And then he says, I myself will go. I've seen what has taken place, and people are calling out to me, and I am going to go in person. But Isaiah 66 says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where will I find a place to dwell? Where will my hiding place be? And he says, I spoke the world into existence, but you know what captures my attention? He who is humble and he who is contrite of heart and he who trembles at my word. That's what captures my attention. That's us. So in Psalm 12, when he says, you know, I've seen the affliction of my people and the people have cried out to me, you know what? I will go myself, but I'm going to go in the form of my church. My power and my presence is going to dwell in my church. In the month of September alone, we worked with 130 different churches, over 2,700 volunteers, 22,000 man hours, and we reached over 1 million people. We set up sites in church parking lots. We set up sites in abandoned grocery store parking lots where there's a crack house taking place next door, and we would walk next door. But everything was done through the local church and through local community members who came and just wanted the presence of God to flow in and through them. But it really captures the attention of the nation of, why would anybody do something like this? This is contrary to the natural man. Why would you drive through a hurricane? Why would you do this? This doesn't make any sense. Why would you go to a gas station where there's been shootings? Why would you do something like this? And yet it's the very thing that Jesus did for us. Disaster response. I'm not adrenaline junkie. I'm really not. But I hate to tell you this. Sometimes you have to be. You have to be an adrenaline junkie. You have to be someone who's not afraid to drive through a hurricane. You have to be someone who's not afraid to drive to a tornado-ridden town and see devastation before your eyes. I've even had men retired from the military saying, I've never seen anything like this in my entire life. But God brings his presence through us, through his people. And so over the month in September alone, to the hurricanes, we just responded to Mena, Arkansas, with the tornadoes that took place in Arkansas, and we sent a team of men there. On Easter Sunday, they left their homes and their families, and they went to Mena, Arkansas, to minister people and bring groceries door to door and pray with people and lead people to Christ. That defies common sense. And yet the fact of the reality is God calls us to do the very things that are contrary to common sense, because our God is not common. And there is a passion of God that can only come from him. So when it comes to disaster response, our passion is to reach people, to go after the lost, to go after the hurting. But the fact of the reality is when Scripture says that God responds to the cries of the afflicted, he sends us. He says, I hear my people crying. I hear a nation crying. I hear a nation crying out to me. And you know what? I'm going to come. I will respond to the cries of the afflicted. And I'm going to come in the form of you. Psalm 41 paints an amazing picture of disaster response, if I can say this. Psalm 41. It says, he who considers the helpless. And in the English word, the word is consider. Let me think about it. Do I want a supersize extra value meal number one? Or do I want a number two? Let me think about this. Let me consider this. But in the original Hebrew, in the verb tense, it's not let me just think about it. I'm a Chicago boy. Anybody here a Chicago boy? All right, one person back there. Me and you, right on. But here's a fact of reality. I think Walter Payton was the greatest football player that ever walked the gridiron. Come on. Come on. That man would lay punishment before he took punishment. He would give straight arms. He would put people under. He would put linebackers under back before he took a hit. And the original Hebrew, Psalm 41, it says, he who considers the helpless. It means he who drives forward such passion and intensity that nothing will get in his way, that if something gets in my way, you know what? I'm driving through it. You know what? There's somebody over here that needs help. Somebody needs help. I'm going through it. I'm throwing tears. I'm throwing tables. Somebody needs help. He who considers the helpless. Someone who passionately pursues the helpless, even if they get hurt in the process. And God's promise behind that, it says, I will protect you. I will guard you. I will preserve you. And when you get sick, I will speak life back into you when you pursue the helpless. It's a picture of the gospel. And it's really a picture of us, what we do with disaster response, with outreaches, with international feeding programs. We're pursuing the helpless, and in the midst of it, God's promises, if you pursue those whom I made, I will bless you, I will honor you, I will preserve you, I will protect you. Because I'm sending you in response to the afflictions of those who have cried out to me. So in a nutshell, that's a sermon illustration of what we do with disaster response. Here we are set up in a church parking lot. This church canceled Sunday morning service. They have church in their parking lot. They said, we're going to take church to them. We respond to the long-term recovery. Here we are turning a garage into a house after Hurricane Ike. Here's a pastor ministering to a lady. We had another gentleman on our team who was ministering medical help. Spontaneously, God brings people to the surface. I was praying with a church. I was leading some volunteers one Sunday morning. I said, has your church been asking God to send people your direction? They're like, yeah, that's awesome. I said, well, guess what? God's responding to your petition. Today, 10,000 people are going to come through your parking lot. And they didn't quite get the connection. I said, have you not been asking God to send your city to you? Here it is. He's answering. You're going to have 10,000 people come through your parking lot today. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond everything we can conceive in our own minds. And there's a cry of the church and there's a cry of his people. And you know what? He's going to respond to that. And that's exactly what we do as we respond. But God sends us in his place. We see people in the outreaches, they see it all the time. In disaster response, a lot of times people can't even talk. They just pull up in their cars and they just cry. They don't know how to verbalize. They don't know how to verbalize everything they've seen. They don't know how to verbalize everything they go through. They just cry. And we just cry with them. We minister to them. We pray with them. But it's done through people just like you. Isaiah 66, a dwelling place of your presence. Just like you. I'm going to pass it back to Mr. Jeff here.
You know, at first glance, you would think Nick is excited about disaster response. But you know, that's not it. He's excited that responding to a disaster gives that team a chance to share Christ with people that need to hear about Christ. And the opportunities that come up each and every day are just amazing. I want to introduce you to Tom Lofton, who's a relatively new member, probably the newest member of the Convoy of Hope team. And he's going to come up and share. Your pastor told me his name is Tommy. I'm not calling you Tommy. I'm sorry. Okay, we'll do that. Before we do that, I want you to see one more video. And recently I had the privilege to be on a trip where we took some pastors to El Salvador. Tom's going to talk a little bit about our international ministry, but it's so exciting for me to see pastors and lay people alike that go to a Convoy of Hope event, whether it's in El Salvador or whether it's in Paducah, Kentucky, and see what Christ does, see how Christ moves in the heart of people, and to see the way these pastors were touched. It really touched me on that trip. Watch this video.
Glad to be able to talk to you today. I'm in El Salvador with a Hope Walk with Convoy of Hope, and we are outside of a little town called Santa Ana in a refugee village of people who lost their homes and everything they possessed in a volcano that erupted 3 years ago.
Most of them live in this type of house. It's just about a 15 by 15 shack that they build out of whatever they can find.
Being a feeding program, we just gave away boxes of bears and vitamins for these families. They have nowhere to go. And our missions dollars, the Convoy of Hope, help make this possible.
In our travels across El Salvador, we came to an orphanage, and one of the most amazing things was 35 kids there.
We're here at a school today where Latin America Child Care is providing a class for all these students, over 200 kids. Meals are brought here by Convoy of Hope.
Many of them, this is the only place that they have a meal for the day. They come to school, they're fed not just nutritionally, but they're fed educationally and spiritually. We thank God for Convoy.
And so you can see firsthand here today the impact that you have when you give to missions, when you give to Convoy.
You know, guys, this is why we give to missions, and this is why we listen to the heart of the Spirit of God when He talks to us and invites us to partner with Him in bringing His love to the world through partnering with other ministries and other organizations. Convoy of Hope is a part of who we are, and they reach out to the world, and we reach out through them.
Amen. What a privilege. Amen. To be able to bring hope where there is no hope and to give a hope that does not disappoint. It's great to be a part of your missions event. And at Convoy of Hope, we thank God for your giving and for your going and for your volunteering. Listening to my brothers tonight share what God's doing around the world, it sounds a little bit like a testimony service. How many of you remember when we used to have those testimony services? My testimony is short and sweet. I'm a preacher's kid and still saved. That's my testimony. My mother gave a new definition to the Bible belt. She took a Bible and a belt in her purse every Sunday to church and rightly divided the word and administrated the love of Jesus Christ to my backside on a regular basis. When you think of Convoy of Hope, you think of a great testimony. Truly, God has given the Assemblies of God to be a vital part of an end-day revival where the compassion of Jesus Christ sets a platform for people to hear the gospel. You know the story, but our president, Hal Donaldson, after spending several weeks in eight of America's darkest cities, was moved to the point that he had to take action. And with a little pickup truck and bags of groceries, God gave birth to Convoy of Hope. One man with childlike faith, offering his best to the Lord. And since that time, over 25 million people have been fed not only the bread that they need for nourishment, but also the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And we give God thanks and praise for that. Just like the little lad who had given Jesus all he had, God took that sacrificial offering that Hal offered up and multiplied it all over the world. When we think about Convoy of Hope, we want to look also at its international impact. I just picked these statistics up today and want to let you know what's current in regards to our international outreach. Right now, we're in Mexico City, in Belize, in Guatemala, in the Philippines. In fact, just in the Philippines, we've just fed 5,000 families, not individuals, but families, bringing them the gospel of Jesus Christ through Compassion Ministry. And then recently, just working on a project to Swaziland, feeding children in a land that is the epicenter of HIV/AIDS in the world, where over 210,000 children are vulnerable because they are orphaned by HIV/AIDS. Convoy of Hope is there to bring the love of Jesus Christ in a tangible way. You look at disaster response overseas. How many of you have heard about the recent earthquake in Italy? As soon as that earthquake took place, our team in Europe was on the spot bringing the love of Jesus to those that were devastated by this earthquake. All because of you who pray and give us the opportunity to be on the spot in an immediate response to those that are hurting. We've just been in disaster training in Antigua and Barbados and Grenada, and then also recently in Jamaica. We have teams right now, seven teams that have served around the world with another 15 teams ready to go here in the next few months. We also, as you heard earlier, feed over 18,000 children on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And as you looked at the video tonight of what we're doing in El Salvador, I want to give you a close-up picture of just one family, of a single mom who had to make the choice, what would she do with the little money that she had left? Whether to feed her children or to take that money and buy transportation to find a job somewhere in the city. Obviously, she made the choice to feed her children. You and I make a choice every day of what we want on our hamburger, what we want with our entree, what we'll have for dessert. But here is a family in abject poverty who has no hope, who has no promise of tomorrow, and yet they have to make the choice whether to go to get a job that might provide a little more or to take the little few pennies that they have and feed their children for that day, not knowing what tomorrow will bring. Brother, sister, that's where Convoy of Hope comes in. Bathed in the presence of the living God to give them hope that they don't have. And this one little family, this little lady with her two children were given hope where her children never again have to wonder where they're going to get their next meal because Convoy of Hope feeds them on a daily basis. You think about it for just a moment. Could possibly these two children of that little lady one day grow up to offer their lunch to the Lord and be able to benefit many as Hal has taken up that sacrifice, laid it before the Lord, and God has blessed it. In closing, I want to share with you something new that Convoy of Hope has assigned me to set up. It is a global prayer initiative. At Convoy of Hope, we are definitely certain of this, that apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. And as we see these disasters and these needs multiply daily, we realize that we've got to go deeper on our knees. We've got to be people of prayer. And so we will be putting together a program called Pray for Those in Poverty, where we'll have a website where you will get day-to-day updates of what's going on around the world and how we need your prayers so that we'll be effective, bathed in the Holy Spirit, equipped by the Lord God above, and made able to reach those needs. In closing, I want to share this with you. As a 19-year-old boy working at Greyhound in between summers while attending Evangel College, I had the privilege one morning coming home from work to see a man that was laid destitute on a sidewalk. A skinny man, blood on the sidewalk. This man had passed out. And I'll never forget praying as I had been taught to, that Lord, please touch this man. And as soon as those words left my lips, the Lord answered my prayer and said, no, Tommy, you touch him. You're closer. Brother, sister, we're closer. God has called us to show His love to a hurting world. And our desire is this, that not only will you give to this ministry, but that you will pledge yourself to pray for this ministry. We covet your prayers. How many of you will say, as God gives you grace, you'll be praying for Convoy of Hope? We appreciate it. May the Lord bless you.
As we bring this night to a close, there's so much more about Convoy that we don't have time to even talk about tonight. You mentioned the Katrina. We're still very active in the Gulf Coast. I mean, so many years after that happened, and we're still involved in some outreaches there. I see Frank over here. He helps head up some of our water initiatives that we're doing around the world, going into communities that has no pure water, and we're erecting these systems that they can have water for families and for communities, and it just goes on and on and on. How God is just going before us, and you've heard the stories tonight, but what we're all about is going into communities and we're lifting up the church, and we're coming behind the church. We're saying we want the church to be the champion, and we want to reach the communities together. And you know, it goes back to a story that Jesus, about Jesus in John chapter 4, and he paints a picture for us. And there's so many different ways you can go with this story, and we don't have time with it. The story of Jesus reaching out to this Samaritan woman, and Jesus paints a marvelous picture about, you heard me mention earlier about, it's the power of one. It's a power of going after one person. It's about going into these orphanages in El Salvador and Haiti and Kenya and ministering to one child. Oh, we may not understand the impact of giving food to that one child, but what that food means to that one child. and it's going to through some of these disasters on the and these guys that are right there after the disaster happens, and there were first responder teams, and we're the first ones on site, and we're ministering to these people. And one thing that we found out through disasters, it doesn't matter if you're riding a bicycle or if you're driving a BMW, it hits everybody the same. And these guys are right there, or on the outreach side, or these water wells that are being built. It's Jesus. It's the story of Jesus going to where the hurt is and sitting there and waiting for this Samaritan woman coming up. She waited till the heat of the day when no one else is going to be around, because she felt like a reject. She felt like she was a throwaway in her society. And I know that I may be sitting in a room with a lot of folks, and you've been perfect for a long time, and maybe you forgot what it is to be bound in sin. But this woman was bound in sin, and she didn't want to be around anybody else. But Jesus said, today's the day I'm going to send hope to this woman. And Jesus sits down, and he ministers to her, and you know the story as well as I do. He crossed all kinds of lines that day to minister to her. But we've got to remember that John 3:16 is for everybody. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what sin you're bound in right then. It's still God's will that not one person perish. And that's what Jesus was all about. But the part of the story I really like, as powerful as that part is, and you can spend a lot of time talking, it's the second part of that story. It's where Jesus had sent his disciples into town to get some lunch and to come back. And the story picks up where the disciples coming back and they see Jesus talking to this woman. And they stopped, and Jesus sent this woman away, and he looks at his disciples. And the Bible says that not one of those disciples had the nerve to say anything. But that's all right, because Jesus knew the kind of men he was dealing with. And he says, I already know what you guys are thinking. Now let me paraphrase a little bit. And he looked at him and said, guys, listen to me. I know what you're saying. You say 4 more months than the harvest. I'm telling you, if you'll open your eyes, it's all around you. You can see it. And as we go into these communities and we work with churches and we work with volunteers, the message that we believe Jesus Christ has given Convoy of Hope, whether it's in an outreach, whether it's in a disaster, whether it's on the backside of a desert in Kenya, is for us to go in and partner with men and women of God and say, you know what, if we'll just open our eyes and see people the way Jesus sees people, then we'll cross those lines. Then we won't judge them. Then we'll reach out to them in love and show them what hope can do and impact in their life. You know, as I, again, came off this outreach and spent time with dozens and dozens of our guests on Saturday and listened to them tell their stories of hopelessness, and then to watch them as they come out of their prayer tent and saying things, you know, they say things like this all the time. I don't know what it is, but I feel good today. I don't know what it is, but I feel like I've got something today I didn't have before I came. And what happens with Convoy of Hope, let me tell you, that God is again, miraculously helped us to take a dollar. Every gift that we get, we've been able to multiply that into $7 worth of goods and services that we can ship around the country and to different parts of the world. And we see that as just nothing but a supernatural blessing of what God can do to the money that is sent to Convoy of Hope. And that's what tonight's all about. It's about you standing with us and you partnering with us and you praying with us. I don't know what the next 15 years hold. I really don't. It scares me. It really does. It scares me sometimes when I see the avenues and the doors that God is continuing to open to Convoy of Hope. But we have in obedience stepped through every one of those doors. And sometimes we're stepping through these doors and we're saying, God, we don't know how we're going to do it, but you've called us. We don't know how we're going to go and put this water well in, but God, we know you've called us to this part of the world to do it. And when we get there, God blesses, God sends, God anoints. And again, as my church family and as a lot of our church families tonight, we come to you and we're saying, stand with us as we continue to go forward, not only financially, but, and I know that we've got a lot of missionaries here in the church, And sometimes the next phrase I'm going to say doesn't impact us as much as I want it to impact us tonight. We desperately need your prayers because we are going into avenues and going places that are just way beyond who we are. We need the Lord's blessings and the Lord's anointing and the Lord's direction upon us. Well, God bless you. We thank you for the time tonight. And we thank you for standing with Convoy of Hope. This has been a great church for us through the history of the ministry of Convoy, and it will continue to be, I know. So thank you very much, Pastor.